Well, good morning. If Bruce is plan B, I don't even want to know what plan I'm at. And when Greg told me he wasn't going to make it, I did not even think for one millisecond about preaching his lesson. While both of us were born in Louisville, Kentucky, I never went to school there, because we left when I was 3 years old. But evidently, wherever he went to school, he must have paid attention. I did enough to get by. And if you've been here before and heard me talk, you've heard me talk about things like making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which evidently I didn't know how to do. You've talked about how petty I am when it comes to competition and people like the laws and the messengers and the quarrels being allowed to skip things that I wasn't allowed to skip. So I talk about those simple kind of things, not the deep things that that Greg talks about. So hopefully when he gets well, he'll preach this lesson on love that he has prepared. But real quickly this morning, I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. As Peter says, it's good to be reminded of things that we already know. And so I'm going to tell you a story that you're already very familiar with. And that is the story that one day while the Apostle Paul was in prison, he came across an individual by the name of Onesimus. And in their conversation, it came about that Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master. And somehow, in some way, the Apostle Paul taught Onesimus the truth. And Onesimus became a Christian. And in the course of their conversation, it came about that Onesimus' master was an individual by the name of Philemon, whom Paul had also taught the gospel to. And somehow, in some way, the Apostle Paul told Onesimus, "You got to go back home." And I would imagine that Onesimus says, "No, I'm not going back home. I ran away. And if I'm caught, I could be killed." And I can imagine the Apostle Paul saying something like that, like, "Don't worry about it. I know Philemon. And I taught him the gospel. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write you a letter. And I'll write a letter to Philemon, and I'll give it to you, and you can take it back to him." And he convinced Onesimus to do that. And here's the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, that your goodness should not be, as it were, by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason parted from you for a while, that you should have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me." But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, lest I should mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. And at the same time also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, we're not told what happened, but I can imagine Onesimus standing there and handing that scroll to Philemon and saying, hey, Paul wrote you a letter. And one would hope that after Paul read that letter, that he embraced Onesimus and that he said, you're free, my brother. Two things real quickly that I want to call to mind. And I've said this before, and every now and then it gets me in trouble, which is nothing new. But I often get in trouble for things that I say. But I've said this before, and I think it's true. We all know people. Every one of us know people that we really don't want to talk to. I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. Because when you ask them how they're doing, they don't mind telling you. And they will start with what's happening with their feet, and they will tell you every ailment they have from their feet to the top of their head. And by the time they're done, you want to call the doctor and set up an appointment for yourself because you just feel bad. My father, who was a physician and spent most of his working life in public health, but also spent some time in private practice, would every now and then come home, and this was before all the HIPAA laws and everything, and he, not that he would tell us any names, but he'd often come home and say, well, you know, I saw this individual today, and they just enjoy poor health. And the first time he said that, I said, what? He said, well, you know, they just enjoy poor health. I said, what does that even mean? And he says, well, they like being sick. And I said, why would anybody in their right mind like being sick? He said, because of the attention they get. And I thought, oh. I think it's also extremely instructive that when in John chapter 5, when Jesus comes across the man who had been sick for 38 years, you know the first thing he said to him? The first thing he said to this man who had been sick for 38 years, the first thing Jesus said to him was a question. Do you wish to get well? Why would you even ask an individual who'd been sick for 38 years if they wanted to get well? Because there are some people who don't want to get well. Philemon was not one of those individuals. Philemon was an individual that you enjoyed being around. Because when you left Philemon's presence, you were refreshed. Philemon was a good man. Philemon was a child of God. Now, he may have complained about some things, I don't know. But what I do know is that Paul says, I've heard about your love. Not only the love that you have for God, but I've heard about your love that you've had toward all the saints. And people are refreshed in your presence. Now, one quick little funny story about me. I don't know, it was a few weeks ago. Linda and I were riding to church. And I don't even know what we were talking about, but, you know, we talk about, every now and then we talk about some spiritual things. We talk about the weather, blah, blah, blah. And she reached out her hand and offered me a breath mint. And I said, no, thanks, I'm all right. She goes, are you sure? At which point I said, sure, I'm all right. Well, you know, a few minutes later I got to thinking, huh, I wonder if she's trying to tell me something. Because the fact of the matter is, all of us think we're a delight. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to ride with me? I'm a delight to be with. We all think we're pretty good people. We all think we're fun to be around. We all think people just ought to be happy to be in our presence. And I told her that this morning when I picked her up. She stepped out and she goes, "Hello, David." And I said, "Hello, Linda." And I asked her how her week was going, and she said, "She's doing fine." I said, "Well, why wouldn't you? You get to be with me." We all think we're delightful people. But the fact of the matter is, and I do it myself, there are times I find myself forgetting how good God has been to me, and I start griping and complaining about some of the littlest and stupidest thing, like some people being allowed to shorten the Warrior Dash course. I mean, how petty can you be? But I would suggest to you that we all need to strive to be more like Philemon. People, a person who people enjoy being around. And when they leave our company, they feel refreshed. The other thing, real quickly, is what the Apostle Paul writes in verse 8. Obviously, Philemon, knew Onesimus. Obviously, Philemon knew Onesimus had run away and that he could have him arrested and have him killed. And he's learning quickly that evidently Onesimus came into contact with Paul because he's sitting here reading this letter from the Apostle Paul. And so Paul draws his conclusion very early in the letter when he says in verse 8, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper." What he's saying to Philemon is, hey, you need to realize that I'm an apostle. I was chosen by God himself to go preach and teach, and you know that. And Paul is saying to Philemon, I think I've got enough confidence to tell you what you ought to do. But instead of doing that, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. It's one thing to do what's right out of a feeling of obligation. Should you be at worship? Yes. How many of us have thought on Saturday night, "Oh, it's Saturday, I got to go to church tomorrow"? I've thought that lots of times. The main reason I went to church in Moorhead, when I went away to college, the main reason I went most of the time was because the president of the college was not only a personal family friend, he was a Christian, and he would write home to mom and dad and let them know when I was there and wasn't there. Let me tell you, that wasn't a pleasant conversation. When dad would get a letter from Dr. Doran saying, "Oh, by the way, I didn't see David at worship yesterday," I'd get a phone call. "How come you weren't at church?" "Well, I really didn't want to go, Dad." "No, that's not what you said." It's one thing to do things out of obligation. It's an entirely different thing to do it out of love. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'd be even happier if we were all here. Not because we have this sense of duty, but because we're so grateful that God loved us enough to send his son to die for us, and that Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to this earth, being made into the form of a man, and then willing to give up his life there on the cross so that I might have the opportunity to have my sins forgiven, and that God loved me enough to give me his spirit to help me through this difficult life. I hope that's why we're all here. And I hope we do everything that we do because we're so grateful for the love of God. And so I would leave you with two thoughts this morning. Be a person that other people like to be around. Be a person that is known as a refreshing individual. And then live a holy life, not because you have to. Not because you're scared God's up there, as Gary Larson would say, with his finger over the big smite button, just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can smite us. But be a holy person because you appreciate the love of God.